Ladies and gentlemen, thinkers and debaters, fence sitters and firebrands, welcome to the Big Top of Talk, the high-flying, death-defying, no-holds-barred spectacle of ideas. This is Common Ground, where left meets right, up meets down, and common sense fights to survive. We're here to cut through the noise, bridge the divide, and maybe, just maybe, find a little middle ground along the way. So grab your coffee, buckle up, and keep your hands inside the conversation at all times. Because it's time for open minds, open dialogue, and maybe even a little common ground for the common good. Here are your hosts, Melissa Lucas and Scott Goodman.
We can all believe what we believe. Peacefully agree, disagree.
Hello and good morning. Scott Goodman here, and welcome to another episode of Common Ground on KNTR 106.7 5 and 3, Voice of the Free. Catch us here every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Today's topic is one that applies to everyone living in America, whether legal or illegal, health insurance or the lack thereof. Today we face a major crisis. Unless something changes, the costly enhanced insurance subsidies will expire January 1st, 2026. And what if that actually happens, guys? Let me tell you what happens. We're going to see significantly higher premiums, loss of eligibility, reduced coverage. Now, we have a unique situation. It's also sunsetting these subsidies during the current shutdown. There is an ongoing political debate and uncertainty about the extension of Congress as Congress faces deadlines for the upcoming enrollment period and potential government funding issues. We will be discussing this today with our panel and look to you, the listener, to let us know your thoughts. Melissa, how about letting our listeners know about our guest today, the staff that makes this show happen? And let our listeners know how to reach out to us on Common Ground, featured on KNTR Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Scott. Welcome back to Common Ground, right here live on KNTR 106.7, 5 and 3, Voice of the Free. You can call in at 928-854-5687 or text in at 928-727-5566. And we would love to hear from you, so please do that. In-house today, we have our producer, Marissa June. We've got Red Bull Ronnie, the co-creator. Paul Lavoie is the operation manager and is in the house as well. All right. Our guest is Brian McMahon. Welcome back to the show. And remember, if you're traveling through the tri-state, you can listen on 106.7 in Golden Valley and Kingman on 106.7. 0.5 in Laughlin, Bullhead, and Mojave Valley, Need and Needles, as well as 106.7 right here in Lake Havasu. All right, I will do a quick shout out to our sponsors: Blonzy Steakhouse, Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware, Annie's Thrift Shop, Top Turf AZ, Martin Swanee Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Kia, and Neat Pool and Supply. All right, I am just going to open this up here with a question for you, Brian. Are you ready for me?
I am.
With the government shutdown dragging on, experts are warning that Obamacare premiums could spike by up to 75% next year without those enhanced subsidies. How much should everyday families have to pay for that risk? And is it fair to blame one party over the other?
Absolutely.
You think so? Because my hubby calls it the Schumer shutdown. What do you call it?
Well, I find it humorous that people say that the Democrats voted for a shutdown. The Democrats have not voted for a shutdown. The administration and the Senate and the House are all Republicans. They could all make this happen if they wanted to.
No, they can't.
Well, absolutely,
and the Senate,
they can't.
The Senate, they need 60 votes.
Right, but they could negotiate to get to 60 votes. That's what we've always done. So there was no negotiation in the House. The House just passed it.
Correct.
But there was no negotiation, and there's no negotiation in the Senate. They're not negotiating. So it's not the Democrats voting to shut down the government.
Well, I agree to disagree.
Interesting perspective.
What I agree with is that the Republicans, the majority in the Senate, are not negotiating, and their reason for not negotiating is that the platform that the Democrats are proposing is a non-starting point for the Republicans, in their opinion. They want they quote unquote $1 trillion plus in spending for insurance. That being said, you're right. The the Republicans in the Senate, I mean in the House, did not negotiate with anybody. They passed it unilaterally. Done. You don't have a say in any of this. And it angered a lot of people in the Senate and a lot of people in the House. But that being said, Schumer, last time when we had our last continuing resolution, which extended the budget and the operation of our country for a period of time, voted with the Republicans and received an incredible amount of backlash from the Democratic Party for doing so. So he was put in a position to follow lockstep with the Democrats on this particular continuing resolution. And I get that. It's political survival.
It's not lockstep. We had three Democrats that voted with the Republicans.
But most people are in agreement that he was concerned about it being primaried by AOC. There was a lot of mitigating circumstances. But that all being said, this is a spending issue. This is not a political issue as much as a spending issue.
For the Republicans?
For both.
The budget is what the problem is.
Well, we don't pass budgets anymore.
Well, let's go back. How this works is there's 12 different budgets that are 12 different spending bills that need to be approved every year, and the House has not taken up one of the 12. They had the opportunity to do this for the last 9 months and has failed to do that, to even take it up.
And we do CRs, continuing resolutions, that push it forward.
But we still don't have, even today, we don't have, the House doesn't have, of those 12 required spending solutions they need to do, they don't have an answer to one of them, and they've been off for the last 18 days, so we can make sure that our newest Arizona representative doesn't get put into office to sign the petition for Epstein. There's a lot of politics that's related to this, but I want to go back and address your one issue that or maybe it was your issue, Melissa, the spending is up there.
Right.
But we didn't seem to mind in the big, beautiful bill. We just increased the deficit by $10 trillion.
Over 10 years, in theory.
It's $10 trillion, regardless of how you do it.
And so the previous administration managed to do $2.3 billion in one budget.
During COVID.
Right. In one budget. So let's move on to the topic that we're discussing. Spending is an aspect of this topic, but the real topic is insurance. And the reality is, I believe we'll all find common ground in the fact that, and we'll talk about this at the end, that we don't want higher premiums. We don't want people to be forced to not have insurance anymore. But as it stands right now, in 2024, we spent $398 billion on tax subsidies for employers and ACA marketplace coverage. Okay, I have a personal story on that one. I have a family of five. Four of them are covered under my insurance. I have opted in for healthcare.gov on Affordable Care Act, and my premium every year, it's not the greatest plan. I have a high deductible of $10,000 for the family, but I have good co-pays for doctor visits, etc. They contribute $2,791 a month to subsidize my health care. And my bill every month, and I'm not ashamed to say it because I take advantage of things that are afforded to me, $0.00. My bill for my insurance is $0.
I pay $6.80 a month just for me.
The entire government of the United States of America funds my insurance. I'm not embarrassed by it. I'm an opportunist in many ways. I take advantage of things that are legally given to me.
Isn't it based on income, though?
Well, it is based on income in many respects, but it's also based on how crappy of a plan you choose to get.
Yeah.
I chose to get a really crappy plan because I can afford it, I want it to have catastrophic coverage. In case something major, like really bad happens, I have coverage. I can cover the incidental bills. I can cover the deductible if I need to. My wife had back surgery. I had to put up $10,000 or an 80-something hundred for what wasn't spent. So I'm prepared to do that. But the point is, sunsetting on December 31st of this year, when people wake up on January 1st. Now, you got to attend, the enrollment period for the Affordable Care Act is a narrow window.
It's November 1st.
And I believe it ends mid-January. I'm not sure.
I think that's correct.
I think it's mid-January. Point is, there's a narrow window of time for people to sign up for the Affordable Care Act. And tens of millions of Americans are covered by ACA. And if they don't get, Congress doesn't pass some form of a extension that was passed initially in 2021, and it sunsets in a few months, people are going to wake up in the morning to ridiculously higher premiums. So do we spend another $398 billion for fiscal 2026? Or do we just let it ride and let people pay extra money? But there's more. And, Brian, you know about this. Loss of eligibility and reduced coverage and going back to the old school way, potentially, of pre-existing conditions being not treated and not being covered. So, Brian, what are your thoughts on this particular thing, the sunsetting of these subsidies? It's huge. Please, so, read away.
I wrote a little quick statement here.
I got to hear it.
In October 2024, Speaker Mike Johnson told a crowd there would be a massive changes to health care if voters reelected Trump. We want to take a blowtorch to the regulatory state. These agencies have weaponized against the people. It's crashing the free market, and so health care is one of the sectors we need this across the board, he said. Now, though these hypothetical cuts are real and without extension of the premium tax credit, many Americans' health care premiums will skyrocket. Approximately 24 million Americans buy health insurance in the Affordable Care Act marketplace. Without the extension of these tax credits, the premiums are expected to go up an average of 114% for consumers. Spiking premiums will mean even the healthiest people will decide to go without health insurance, affect everyone, and will be sending prices up for everyone. Because of the ACA, we have seen insurance rates fall an average of 7% to 4.5%. Putting more people in the insurance pool lowers the cost for everyone, because most people who pay in are healthy and use less health care, which lowers the usage and keeps the rates lower for all of us, regardless of getting ACA subsidies or not. All Americans save money because of the ACA.
Everything that you said is 100% correct. But the important thing that you brought up on that on the statement that you made was very simple. If healthy people jump away from the ACA or from insurance coverage as a whole because they're healthy, the pool that's left that is insured will be less healthy, therefore the costs do go up. It's based on the health of the pool of people that are being insured. Okay, now, the people that are uninsured, my party and my president says that they don't want to insure illegal aliens. And the Democrats saying, well, we don't want to insure illegal aliens either, but we want to give everyone a chance for adequate health care. And I get that. But right now, as it stands, illegal aliens and people who are uninsured do have insurance. It is the
the act passed in 1981 for Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, EMTLA, the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act. It means that basically you're going to be treated until you're stable, you're going to be transferred if necessary, and you're going to receive screening. So people cannot be denied the opportunity to have health care. And that costs billions of dollars in unpaid medical to the hospitals. These people aren't paying their bills. They're going to seek treatment, and they're not paying. So I believe we have
a text. Yes, I have a text in. And again, you can text us in at 928-727-5566. It says, let's say Obamacare subsidies do go away. Millions of people like myself will not pay triple. Yes, I predict at least triple for my health insurance next year and the year after. This will follow the Rush Limbaugh principle. When companies no longer get government assistance, the price point will return to what the market will pay. Especially if millions of people, like myself, drop insurance. So go on insurance strike. And we the people just pay for it when you go? Pay as you go? Or just don't get sick? Don't get hurt?
Well, here's the thing. You can walk into a hospital today and get treated no matter what your health care condition is, what you have or what you don't have.
Oh, he's pulling out graphs here.
The problem is, there's $310 billion last year in 2024 in unpaid hospital, unpaid medical debt, it's called.
How much?
$310 billion. Wow.
So we're gonna take a little break here, and then we're going to get the how much answered, and we'll get you here on KNTR Talk Radio, 106.7, 5, and 3.
Voice of the free.
Talk to you soon.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
All right. We are still on a break right now, so just hold, and we'll get your call as soon as we're back on. All right?
Okay, great. Thank you.
No problem.
To Common Ground here on KNTR Talk Radio, and I think Marissa June has something she needs to tell us about.
All right, let me give a shout-out to some of our sponsors here. First up, we have Blonzy Steakhouse, mouth-watering steaks and a breakfast menu that has everyone talking. Whether it's date night or brunch with friends, great taste is always on the menu. Blonzy's is where Havasu eats, off London Bridge Road in Desert Hills. Second, we have Golden Valley Auto Parts and Hardware. They are a small-town store with the biggest auto and hardware selection in the area. Find what you want online at goldenvalleyhardware.com and pick it up in-store today. Just off Bowie Road, Golden Valley. And last up for this break, Annie's Thrift Shop. Shopping at Annie's Thrift Store isn't just about great deals, it's about giving back. Every purchase helps support local charities, making your find more than just a bargain. It's a blessing. Annie's Thrift Store, thrifting with a purpose.
And I believe we have a caller. Hello, caller, at 928-857 or 928-854-5687 is how you call us in here. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How can we help you on KNTR?
Hi, yeah, this is Ted from Havasu. Just a couple of things. I wanted to mention you're talking about the government, you know, and the debt, which is obviously out of control, and that's been from both sides for 200 some years, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. But here's the difference, the way I see it, between Democrats and Republicans. The Republicans spent $4.5 trillion on tax cuts that mostly benefit the wealthy, and the Democrats want $1 trillion so some like 15 million Americans won't lose their medical insurance. And that's, I believe that's the CBO number, about 15 million, up to 15 million Americans could lose their coverage. And if you're talking about the free market, we tried that. That was, premiums were skyrocketing before Obamacare. And, you know, they continued to go up because that was just a half solution.
So let me ask you a question. Assuming that, let's just go with whatever number you say. How many illegal immigrants came into our country?
None. They're not eligible for Medicaid, Medicare, food stamps.
I get all that.
Anything.
You're not letting me finish my question.
That's the guy that you guys push that so much.
Okay, so you're not letting
me. So many Americans believe that it's bull.
I'm not talking about insurance. You're not listening to my question.
Okay.
I'm talking about the ER. The cost of caring for uninsured immigrants that are in the country illegally is also skyrocketing, and the government has to pay for that and reimburse these hospitals in some ways, or they're going to go out of business.
Okay. First of all, it's not just undocumented people using the ER and not paying their bill. Okay?
Plenty of people.
Correct.
A lot more Americans do that than undocumented, okay?
Agreed, because there's more of us. There's more illegal immigrants, illegal people here. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you going to do? Just turn people away and let them bleed off in the street?
No, EMPLA, EMPLA covers that.
Of America. We are the richest country in the world by far.
So we're not turning them away. We can't.
I don't know that any country in the world, I've got my corporate hat on, I keep saying company, any country in the world turns away people when they're sick, right? And maybe some do. Maybe some countries are like that. But Do you want to be known as
we are
an
not
American
turning them away?
Turns away people.
The current budget crisis and the current legislative shutdown that's happening right now has nothing to do with EMTLA, which covers anybody who needs medical treatment in an emergency room in a hospital environment. So there's nobody's being denied health care. What they're being denied of is the idea that these people who are undocumented can have similar access to what legal citizens of the United States have. That's where the crossroads is, I believe, unless you think I'm wrong.
People are people. We all bleed red, you know. And we're talking about the ACA and the 15 million Americans who are going to lose their health coverage at the end of the year because the Republicans gave all the money to the wealthy. That's
okay.
The bottom line.
Well, I disagree with you on that, but as far as the health care is concerned, I do agree, as I stated earlier, that we do have a crisis here because the costs are going to skyrocket if the extension of the subsidies don't go through and loss of eligibility and reduced coverage and people
and
opting out.
Everyone will pay for that.
And people opting out of insurance altogether. But thank you for your call, Ted, and we'd love to have you call
again.
You're
welcome.
Thank you. That was, again, he called in at 928-854-5687 or text us in at 928-727-5566.
Thank you, Melissa.
And I think Ted brings up a good point, though, that why are we here? I think we need to figure out why we're here. And there are issues. There are other issues. Of course, everything is wrapped into everything, right? I mean, I think we all know that. But anyway, but I don't discount what Ted is saying is that there are other issues related.
We just got a new text in, and it says, why is it okay to have a $9 billion military budget, but not okay to have $300 billion for health care?
Well, it's $900 billion, actually.
$900 billion.
Yeah, $9 billion is not correct. It's $900 billion.
Did it say $900 billion? I just read it wrong, yeah.
So the answer to that is real simple. We have so many areas that we have to fund. You can't fund them all. You can't do them all. Do we sacrifice the tear down of the military that's been built up recently? Do we discount the needs of other people to pay for one? It's how many?
Right. Where do you draw the line?
How many pies do we have to eat? You know. And the bottom line is President Trump and the current administration properly allocating funds? Probably not. Was the previous administration properly allocating funds the best way possible? The answer is no. There's no answer.
Or probably not. Let's be fair.
Let's go be fair, okay. But the point I'm getting at is this. There's only a fixed amount of money that can be spent. Anything spent over that adds to the debt. So the President of the United States, and I'm going to say this because I tell it like it is, he's pissing money away, just like previous administrations have pissed money away. And we went from a reasonable amount of debt in the like under $10 billion, which is a trillion, which is still ludicrous, to pushing $40 soon to be $50 trillion. It's untenable. The interest on the debt alone is going to bankrupt our country eventually.
So trimming the fat.
But trimming the fat where? So healthcare. People are upset, and I am too. I don't know what my insurance is going to be like when I apply this year, coming up shortly in a month or so. I don't know where it's going to be at. I'm going to wait, just like almost every American who uses ACA, they're going to all wait to see how this plays out because nobody's going to want to lock in a price that's not locked in. I don't even know how ACA, when open enrollment happens in November, how they're going to give you a quote. It's based on these subsidies. And if these subsidies don't get continued, that price can't be valid. So what are they going to do? Give you a quote and then rescind it and amend it? Or tell you, no, you have to wait until we figure out what's happening. It's a very difficult situation.
So this is one of the reasons why the Democrats in Washington, D.C. are saying now, let's deal with this now instead of continuing resolution, that we're in mid-November and then start having these same conversations. We should have them now, because if that continuing resolution goes for 7 more weeks, we're in the middle of that. And I think everybody understands that. It's just how you want to address it. Should we address it now, or should we do the government shutdown right before Thanksgiving?
Listen, all of you know, and all of our listeners most likely know, that this is, in many cases, both left and right, is a big show. This is a big, it's safe to say it like this, but it's a pissing match, okay, between the left and the right.
We got another text in. It says it's an easy fix. Make the wealthy pay their fair share.
Absolutely. Oh. We wouldn't be in this position if the 182 billionaires in the United States, if they were paying their fair share. Imagine what that would do. We wouldn't have to pay more debt on more trillions of dollars because that costs us, and they would be inputting money into the budget. And when you do a budget, there's two ways you balance a budget. You reduce the expenditures or you increase the revenue. And so what we did is we decreased the revenue by the big, beautiful bill. They did decrease expenses, but apparently we have money to go buy the administration people new jets so they can go on and go around the country.
And you know
did
what?
We need that?
And that's small potatoes. Let's get down to the real brass tacks.
It's $40-50 million.
Let's get down to the real deal here. The real deal is this. We're talking about insurance. What needs to be done, they can continue the shutdown and piss and moan about everything that they disagree with, but how about letting the entire American population know that the subsidies that were allowing them to have health insurance, that they pass that as a separate entity, something separately, and then they can hash out everything else.
Sure.
Okay, but they're not doing that. And so here's where it's at. In a scant month and a half, people are going to log on to the healthcare.gov to sign up for their next year's insurance policy, and they're going to be given a quote. Is that quote valid? I don't know. Is that quote going to be rescinded and amended after the sunsetting of the subsidies go? It's uncertainty. People don't like living in their uncertainty, especially when their potential monthly payment like yours,
right,
for just you, is $600. Mm-hmm. What if it goes to $1,800? That's like 3 car payments, 4 car payments, 5 car payments. I mean, it's ridiculous. So why not Congress, Senate, the President, get on their ass, get on the phone, talk to each other just to pass that.
Okay. I do have another text in. It says, when insurance gets unaffordable, many people could drop their plans. But some unintended consequences, in my opinion, will be co-op insurance, like MediShare, subscription healthcare from doctors, some call Michelin plans, or hospitals and patients settling the medical debt.
Okay.
Hasn't worked so far.
Yeah. And the no offense to our person who texted in, we appreciate your text. But here's the reality. The reality is there is no answer. People are going to drop. People drop every year anyway. They realize they can't afford it. The economy is wavering in some areas. Prices are going way up, and people have to make hard choices. And if you're a relatively healthy individual, it's like rolling the dice in Vegas.
Right.
You're going to gamble. You know, I opted for a lesser of a plan this year, and my wife had major back surgery. And what if I couldn't afford that? Now they're going to have to treat her, but the doctor doesn't have to perform surgery if he doesn't get paid. The individual doctors can deny you. It's the hospitals. They can deny you care at a doctor's office, okay, if you're not being paid. But listen, we got to wrap up this segment. We'll be back in a few minutes here on KNTR Talk Radio, Voice of the
Free.
Free, 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 baby.
106.7, 5, and 3.
There you go.
Welcome back to Common Ground. We got a couple more sponsors here, Marissa.
Yes, we do. And I'm going to read some of our last three sponsors off right now, starting with Top Turf AZ. Sorry about that. The largest showroom in Havasu. Unbeatable wholesale pricing and premium turf backed by warranty. Top Turf is your turf headquarters, where they will match or beat any local competitor's price guaranteed. Located at 92 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Martin Swanee Chrysler Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Kia. Since 1985, Martin Swanee Kingman has been more than a dealership. It's a legacy built on honest deals and handshakes. Celebrating 40 years of doing right by folks one happy driver at a time. Off East Andy Devine Kingman. And last we have Neat Pool and Supply, serving Lake Havasu since 1970. From expert consultations to top-notch supplies and service. They've got everything for pools and spas. Family owned and operated right in the heart of Havasu, where your backyard oasis begins. Located at 52 Scott Drive.
We are back here on Common Ground on KNTR 106.7, 5, and 3. And Melissa, let people know.
Yes,
Voice of the Free.
Voice of the Free. Text us in at 928-727-5566 or call in at 928-854-5687.
And Brian, you have something you want to say?
I do. Just a quick few stats here. Open enrollment starts November 1st, which puts pressure on Congress to provide a fix before then. More than 3 in 4 enrolled in ACA plans live in states that Trump won in 2024. A KFF poll published October 3rd shows that extending premium tax credits is popular. 78% of Americans say they want Congress to extend the tax credits. That includes 59% Republicans and 57% MAGA supporters.
All right, Brian, I have a text for you.
I bet you do.
And since you've got all your graphs there, maybe you can answer this. What I would like to know is exactly what is the rich people's fair share? What's the number?
I don't have that.
Is it a percentage?
I would say a percentage, yes. That's what we pay. We pay our taxes based on a percentage of our income.
Uh-huh.
So sure.
I think it would be the same issue. So it's variable in how much money you make.
Well, I have a question for you before we move on to another text. I want to directly to Melissa here. You have employees that work for you, and I've had many employees over the past years in my life. How many of them have you talked to who contribute $2,000, $2,500 to their federal income taxes every year and get $10,000 to $12,000, $15,000 tax refunds?
So many.
Everybody just about gets a tax refund that exceeds the amount that they contributed. Where does that money come from? You know where it comes from? The debt. It goes into more things to compound the debt. People should never get back more than they contribute. Doesn't make any sense to me. Yes, you've got deductions. I get that. But once it zeroes past your withholding, that's it. If you withheld $2,000, the most you can get back is $2,000.
I've always wondered how that worked.
We go broke is how that works.
I've never understood that. Okay, I have another text here. How about the Republicans actually meet with the Democrats to resolve this instead of sticking their heads in the sand, taking vacations, and closing down the House of Representatives? Okay. There's Brian's response to that.
My response on that is real simple. There's a lot of heads being buried in the sand. We as we've discussed on numerous shows in the past, it's like a tennis match of death. Whoever's in power is lobbing bombs at the other side, and whoever's in power next lobs bombs at the other side. There's no more communication. Hence, the entire concept of this show of Common Ground.
Exactly what we're doing here.
We need to have them find common ground.
Right.
Both sides. I'm not going to take sides on this one. This is a unilateral, the term I'm going to use I can't use, but we'll just call it cluster. And you come up with the rest of it, okay?
But I got it.
But the whole point is that we need to find that common ground. Brian, I agree with you. The clapping is appropriate. Both sides need to get down. Back to previous administrations, I voted. I'm a Republican conservative. I voted for Bill Clinton in the second term. Why? Very simple. He balanced the budget and worked tirelessly with Newt Gingrich to do just that. We should be able to do the same darn thing.
Right.
So next.
So this is from a local here and says, I have insurance, and since I didn't have 20% to pay Havasu Regional for a colonoscopy, but someone with state insurance gets services done, how is that fair? Why should I pay for insurance when I have to pay for everyone else. And I'm sorry to say that the colonoscopy wasn't performed because I didn't have 20%, and a year later I was diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah, and
that's
terrible.
I'm so sorry.
That is, it's
so
very
sorry.
Unfortunate. And I'm.
I mean, I'm sure there's stories like that, you know, tenfold across the nation
but,
right now.
But let's. We need to just say the one thing, though. The people on the ACA that get subsidies also have to pay copays.
I did. I had a colonoscopy 3 months ago.
Well, where do you draw the line between essential government safety nets and overreach, especially when the premiums are soaring and coverage gaps are widening?
Well, and that's only going to get worse without the subsidies.
Right. And have you seen, did you dig into some of the things that the left was wanting, in the reasons why they weren't agreeing on that budget? Did you see any, like, was money going across the seas, maybe?
I believe that some of the bones of contention were, it wasn't necessarily the money. The Republicans are claiming that the big stumbling block was money being spent, quote unquote, on illegal immigrant insurance, mm-hmm. which I don't believe is true, actually. But there is a billion, I think there's $1 trillion of spending across the gamut of cost that the Democrats want to put through that the Republicans don't want to do. And there's reason is, my opinion, the reason is that if President signs that bill and signs the resolution, he's on the hook for that.
Right.
And he's already on the hook for a lot of spending as it stands. And he just doesn't want to do a similar thing, which what Biden did with the Build Back Better and the other spending that he did in consecutive bills that added, I believe, to $3.4 trillion. And if he signs this, he's going to exceed that, and by a decent amount between the Big Beautiful Bill and this bill. So I think there's a lot of fear involved from the Republicans. I think they just don't want to spend the money.
And how long can the government be shut down? How long?
Indefinitely.
How long can this go on? And if it is indefinitely, then can we stop paying taxes and everything because they're not working?
Well,
so
government services will not be able to be continued in some aspects. There's certain essential services that will continue.
Like air traffic controllers?
Well, sure, but there's going to be extended layoffs. They've already admitted, Brian, you know, that they're going to be starting, I believe, on the 15th or the 16th of this month. There'll be layoffs because they can't pay the bill. They can't pay the checks.
Right. And did you hear what happened with the air traffic controllers, I believe, yesterday or this morning in California?
No.
No? They went 6 hours without air traffic controllers.
Oh, in Burbank.
In Burbank.
Actually, there was three places across the country.
Yeah.
No, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Denver was had reductions and somewhere in the Northeast.
I've got another text here. It says the government subsidizes agriculture corporations, the wealthy. Why shouldn't they subsidize American health care?
Well, they do. Since 2021, they passed the enhanced subsidies for health insurance that was good until December 31st of this year. And in the norm, if it wasn't a big problem, they just naturally extend that. The biggest problem we have is that we're now in a shutdown. And there's no negotiations going on. So usually when it's just a rubber stamp almost that they're just going to extend it, they can't do that because they're not in session.
So, and does Trump have more ability to do things now that the government is shut down than he would have if they weren't shut down?
No, because, and Brian will know this as well, there's something called the judicial system that seems to be able to routinely hamstring the president from overreaching or attempting to overreach. All presidents, the courts will put a stay on that. So there's checks and balances still, even though the king theory, you know, it applies in some ways, but it's not that effective. A king can make a pronouncement and say, hey, this is the way it is, period. Enjoy. We have courts, and courts can say, like, for example, Portland and Chicago, the controversy with the National Guard deployment.
Right.
That was shut down by the courts.
Well, did you see that Trump sent National Guard troops from Texas over to Oregon? So the governor, the governor went on the news and said, you know, don't come. We don't want you to come. And then announced that Oregon was filing suit and was going to block that.
They were successful.
Uh-huh. And so, then Trump just said, well, we'll just send Texas National Guard troops. Let her block that.
So here's the deal.
And they did.
That was blocked. We're getting off subject. So let's get back to your original comment on this. What can the president have the powers to just, with the stroke of a pen, do that? He has the ability to do executive orders. But as fast as he can spit them out, the courts can knock them down. Okay? It's just that simple. Overreach has its limits. As far as health insurance goes, though, I think that starting on the 1st, when open enrollment for ACA comes in, there's going to be write-in campaigns. There's going to be talk show hosts talking about what's going to happen. Because I know that on November 1st, I go onto my healthcare.gov website, I apply, I'm given options, I sign up for a particular package, and I'm given a number. So what happens? What happens? I'll tell you what happens after our break here on KNTR Talk Radio, 106.7, 5, and 3.
Voice of the free.
Talk to you shortly.
Hello, caller. This is Common Ground.
Yes, I really like what you're doing with your program there, trying to get common ground between people because the political environment is really toxic. I'm just calling in on the health care.
Can we put you on hold? We're in a break right now. We'll be back in about 30 seconds.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, so just stay on the line, and we'll be back in just a minute here.
Okay.
Welcome back to Common Ground. We do have a caller here on the line. Hello, caller.
Yes, first off, I'd like to say what you're doing is really commendable, trying to find common ground between the two political sides.
Well, like Charlie
Kirk said, when we stop talking, then the bullets start flying.
Agreed.
So thank you.
I think we have to be honest here. I keep hearing this over and over that illegal aliens are not getting insurance. I know tons. I'm in construction. I know tons of illegals that are on our access. They know just how to do it, to work the system. So how much of that goes into higher premium costs for everybody else?
Well, I can answer partially on that one. These are people now who are not in the roles of the uninsured. They're now trying their best to be as close to an American citizen as they can be. They're working hard. They're paying their bills. They're getting insurance to protect their family. They're living the American dream. And those people, I commend them for doing that. I also commend them for trying to assimilate more properly than some of the others who are out there with a handout. You're in the construction industry. Your friends and your employees, are they hard workers?
Oh, yeah.
And they're putting in their time and they're doing the right thing. I support those people, but they need to get into the system as become legal.
Are they currently paying taxes?
They work the system. Let's put it that way.
So
I don't know how much taxes they're paying, but I think there should be a conversation about, you know, they send a lot of remittance back home and stuff. Can't Mexico somehow help pay for the coverage that they get? Somehow
well,
it seems like Mexico is shipping all its problems over here.
Okay, so on that note, Do you employ these people? Do you write them a paycheck every week or month or whenever? Or do they get paid in cash?
I don't want
you to have to answer that. But what I'm telling you is most people I know are paying under the table because they don't have Social Security numbers and they're not integrated into the system. Therefore, they can't receive a paycheck because they have no place to put it.
I just looked it up on AI, and it said that the total health care spending on undocumented is estimated at between $20 and $25 billion annually. And that is estimation between 2023, 24, and 25.
Let's go back to the caller's question, though, and are they being paid cash? Who benefits from that? The employer by not paying
payroll taxes.
Not paying health care. So it's the employer that's actually benefiting here. They're using the labor. They need the labor. And make no mistake, this is where I disagree with the caller, we need those laborers. And I will tell you, if we stop immigrants coming to work, all of our crops are going to die in the field.
That's one of the older arguments.
I don't know about that.
Well, listen, caller.
What happened before they all came here?
So, caller, I'd love for you to call back again.
Okay,
we're winding back down
to the original subject.
Real quick.
They get paid some cash. They get paid some checks. They're on the books. They're just working the books so that they can get their health care.
They're gaming the system.
Through active. They're gaming, exactly. So
them and the employer.
I know it's anecdotal. It's anecdotal, but if it's happening in my little circle, isn't it just happening all over the country?
Agreed. Caller, we have to let you go. Thank you for calling in. So,
thank you.
So let us go over some areas that are of common ground today. We can all agree that the insurance premiums are going to rise. Agreed? Most likely.
Yes, up to 114%.
We also agree that it's absolutely fundamental to keep these people on the insurance rolls, that we get the enhanced subsidies passed, or everyone's going to be having to make some really hard decisions. Agreed?
Yes, because 78% of Americans say so.
Now, we do have a text, but I don't think we have a time to address it.
Oh.
And unless it's we'll read it, but we might not have time to answer.
Okay, this one says, undocumented immigrants pay almost $1 billion in taxes each year.
Yep.
And, however, Trump frequently ignores his court orders.
Is that $1 billion or $1
trillion? Billion is what it says.
Yeah.
And then I do have a follow-up from the one that had the cancer. It says, thank you, I'm cancer-free now. I just don't think it makes sense that people who have insurance are treated worse than people who don't.
As far as the $1 billion figure for amount that they contribute, I find that figure to be erroneous because it's got to be a lot more.
I think so, too. And they don't get the services.
Correct.
They pay into it, but they don't get the services out.
Right. I could fact check that one on the next break, maybe. Or do we have another break?
So common ground. So the common ground, we can agree that this is a crisis. The insurance situation is a crisis. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah, and let me just—if I got a couple more points, just
knock it out because you'll end it.
Okay. So the hospital system's costs are going to shift. They're going to raise contracted prices if we don't do this. The employer's insurance is going to get more expensive, so the employers are going to pay more. The broader inflation link is going to add. This is estimated to add about 0.2 to 0.3 percentage increases in inflation, and then. Also understanding the Medicare, although ACA doesn't directly affect Medicare, it does affect the provider cost inflation. It can lead to smaller rebates for Medicare Advantage plans, and supplemental Medigap plans could see small but steady annual hikes to ensure costs rise overall. Everybody's going to pay more.
Agreed.
Well, hopefully this government shutdown doesn't last too long. How long do you think it's going to go on?
I believe it starts getting critical shortly after it gets to the military pay period.
Yeah, after the payroll.
We should know because Trump did the last three.
The last three shutdowns?
Yeah. Now, yeah.
Well, anyways, listen, I do appreciate all your calls and efforts and texts. Please continue to do so. We need your input here on KNTR Talk Radio Common Ground. We're here every Tuesday at 9 a.m., and we have new guests hopefully every week, and we look forward to working with you and finding that common ground. And, Brian, it's always a pleasure to have you here, and good arguments and good discussions.
Brian McMahon is running for Senate on the Democratic ticket.
Oh, you are? We don't do candidate platforms, but here we go. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, listen, I appreciate all you guys coming in today, and I appreciate the callers and the listeners. And I really do appreciate it. And you have yourself a wonderful day. And catch you next Tuesday on KNTR Talk Radio.
106.75 and 3.
Point to the... This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5 and 106.3. The voice of the free.